Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I am your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi on stage. Again, sorry, it's another week of please don't ask me where I'm going to be dancing because I have no idea. And you could ask the agent because she hasn't booked me anywhere. So yeah, we'll have to just wait till I guess March or probably at the end of this month. To be fair, I have a very busy schedule right now. Actually, at the time of recording, it is really cold outside. But by the time this episode comes out, the AVNs would have just finished. And I just want to, first of all, say hello and thank you to all the people that voted for best favorite adult podcast for Struck by Sia. It is truly an honor to be nominated 2 years in a row by the fans, which is you guys. So I don't know what the outcome is. There's like 40 other podcasters that are in that category. But again, truly humbled, truly blessed, again, to have even been considered, to even be nominated amongst so many of the peers that I look up to. So thank you so much. It really, really means a lot to me. And we shall see if I come back with an award. But if not, I'm there to see Iggy Azalea and party with everyone that I love. So thank you. Thank you. In addition to being a dancer and what else do I do? I also do what else am I? Cam girl, I guess. You can find me in streaming under Sia on Camera. I'm also an online content creator as well. And I was a sugar baby for many years, many, many years, about 11 years ago when I first started in the industry. So this show is all about destigmatizing sex work. And I do that by bringing different guests onto the show every single week to talk about their different or like really niche corner of the industry. And as we all might know, it's a very, very vast industry and employs a lot of us, which I think is awesome. So I really want to bring fellow creators on. I bring people behind the scenes that are, you know, producers, directors, major talent that's in front of the camera, a lot of nonprofit organizations that help benefit sex workers. So it's a really, really vast array of guests that I bring on the show, but all with the same umbrella of we're involved in sex work from one capacity to another. So that's kind of what the show is about, especially if you're brand new listening in here. Unfortunately, there's a couple more boring things I have to say, but also things I am really proud of. So like my Patreon subscribers, thank you so much for always being a pillar over the past couple of years for financially wanting to support the show. I do the show on a weekly basis. It's free, free knowledge, free resources for anyone who is wanting to learn more about our industry, who are maybe considering being a part of our industry and just doing their due diligence and doing research. Or if you're also just been in the community for a long time and just want to learn about other facets or just want to support. So the Patreon is up there if you want to. Again, the money is just going directly to my website because everything has a cost. There's hosting fees and stuff. And also helps fund myself going to other adult industry events like XBiz, AVNs, X3, etc. So you can check it out. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia with rates starting at $4 a month. And of course, just want to do a quick little shout out here to those who are on the top tier. We got Snooze New from Germany. We've got Justin Erickson from Washington. We've got Red Door Products. Hello, Dan from Seattle. Also from Seattle, we've got B. York, McKenna King from Edmonton, Eric Araujo, Moxie Mayhem, Selena Money, Geyser. Thank you all for always supporting the show. A lot of you have been there since day one. So thank you. Thank you. And last but not least, if you are still listening, if you still happen to be in Las Vegas right now and you are collaborating or wanting to collaborate, or maybe you're going back home to LA or wherever, I do want to say that Sage Health is still offering Stripped by Sia listeners $15 off testing. So per test. So if you are interested, Sage Health is located in Van Nuys in Los Angeles. Go book online at sagehealth.net for $15 off using the code Stripped by Sia. And we are back. I am super stoked. I didn't even tell you all what today's episode is about, but I'm super stoked to bring some local people on the show, which is so great because I always love to just go back to my roots and highlight all the fantastic creators and dancers and people that I know that are in Vancouver, where I am from. So really excited to bring on some folks, a founding member of the Passion Fruit Collective. We've got Jamila, who is an adult content creator who will be joining us today. But that's not all. We also have another guest on as well, photographer and art person extraordinaire, also online content creator as well. We have Carly joining us today. And I'm super stoked to talk about what Passion Fruit Collective is all about. If you've never heard about them, they are basically online support for everything digital sex work like related. So if you're talking about social media, content creation, photo shoots and stuff like that, this is just what I've stalked and read about on the internet. They will be definitely describing everything that they do as part of the business. And hopefully maybe some new people will be joining on board. Maybe you'll have some new clients as well by the end of the episode, but we'll see. But they have been waiting patiently. Jamila and Carly, please welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having
Yay,
us.
Thank so you. So excited to meet you too. Well, Carly, I know you. Well, we recently met though, which is really excited. But yeah.
Yes. In Chile. Of all places.
I know. Which is completely nuts. So,
hey, it was a good time.
We
it
had a
was
good
fun.
Time. You know, I made money, so I'm happy about that. And you know,
I did too. You know, could have been worse. Not at all for selling. Yes. Could have been worse, exactly.
And Jamila, it's so lovely to meet you. I've seen, like, I'm pretty sure you had a billboard up at one point, or maybe that's just was that. Are we allowed to talk about that? Not you. Oh, shoot. I thought that was a Passion Fruit Collective thing. Never mind. This is just me being confused. But it's so lovely to meet you. And I can't wait to tell the audience all about Passion Fruit Collective today. But maybe we can first start off with either one of you in terms of, like, what was your start in sex work? How did you get started? Then we can kind of talk about, you know, Passion Fruit Collective in more detail and stuff as well. But yeah, whoever wants to go first, whatever works.
Want me to go first?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so my story starts in COVID times. I've always taken pictures. Like, I've always been a photographer in some sense. And then around November 2019, it started to become more serious. And that's when I started to get paid. I was actually on a flight to Montreal. And I met this brand and we ended up getting drunk together on the flight. And they're like, you're cool. And they're like, let's see your pictures. And I showed them and they're like, oh, this is perfect. So they were my first client. And then COVID hit. And that's when a lot of girls were starting OnlyFans and this need for content really, like, blew up. Like, I don't even think the word content was necessarily used back then.
No, it's just slutty pics.
Thirst traps. So this was the rise of thirst traps. Yeah. And I was out with a girl that I was going to shoot. And we were just drinking together, having fun. And then she casually mentioned, oh, we should go to my sugar daddy's house. And I've never been around anything like that back then. So that was, what, like 4 years ago? And I was like, sure, I'm down. Like, you know, more alcohol, some nice apartment. And we get there. He was a nice enough man. And I was just being myself, shaking my butt, you know, dancing around. And he puts money in my jean shorts. So I'm wearing, like, high-waisted jean shorts. And $200 American bills. And I was like, wow, what was that? Like, how did that just happen? And then essentially they hired a dancer to come and spend time that night. And we got to talking and I ended up shooting her later that week. And then that's what snowballed the photography of sex workers and strippers from there. And it just didn't stop.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. That just one crazy night. And she was, and this is back when I wasn't really charging for photos because she had a good amount. She had a good following on Instagram. And I was like, wow, she's so cool. Like, this is going to be great. And she had some great ideas. And we just went out that day. And then after that, everyone was like, ah, I want to book you, blah, blah, blah. And then
that's amazing. And I'll hold that thought. Carly, we are definitely going to be talking about photography and stuff and your art later on in the show. Everyone's going to want to wait till the end of the episode for that because there's a fun announcement coming at the end. But going to you, Jamila, what about yourself? Like, what was your entry? You know, everyone's always curious about this question.
My entry, I mean, I've always enjoyed taking photos and thirst trapping and just, like, kind of having control of my image and, you know, you know, just getting creative with it too. I did 4 years of art history. So yeah, making content, creating photos, creating like looks and stories behind photos has always just been something that I've loved to do. And then it was the same kind of thing. COVID hit and you know, there's another side of me that's always been very entrepreneurial. So I started like this little weed business. Do you remember Bunny Buds?
Yeah, I ordered. I was a fan.
They had like great marketing. It like blew up. We were just like going crazy.
And it was during COVID.
And it was during COVID, yeah. But our Instagram kept getting shut down. So I was like, oh, I'm going to move this energy and like start an OF because that seems to be like going really well for everyone. And yeah, and I started and, you know, I definitely had some bumps along the way in the beginning with management and that kind of stuff of like trying to find the right management. So, you know, with a lot of lessons learned and trial and error, I kind of decided that I was going to start my own management company because there was a need for something that I wasn't getting in, mm-hmm. in that industry.
And that's how Passion Fruit Collective started? Wow.
Yeah, that's how Passion Fruit Collective started. I was actually just doing OF, me and my partner, and we signed with these like finance pro guys, and they just totally like fucked me over.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, like crypto, incel crypto guys. And yeah, it was bad. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, they just ended up taking so much of my money and really had no idea about like digital sex work and what it entails. They just think that like you're a machine and you can just produce content like all the time. And why aren't you producing content? And just no care put into it. So, I was like, this can't be the only option. Like there needs to be something that's different. So me and my partner decided that we were going to start something that was just had more care and holistic support for creators. Gosh.
I love that. I love not loving the whole finance bro situation with the OF management. No, that's terrible.
Yeah, expensive lesson.
I mean, if we're able to go into that, and of course you don't have to answer, but I know a lot of people are actually like a lot of people are interested are in the business of wanting to, you know, seeking out an OF manager. Can you give us a little insight about your personal experience with, say, these agencies, these management companies, and then we'll kind of flip it back to maybe how Passion Fruit Collective does things a bit differently, and also how they prioritize how your company prioritizes, you know, like what sex workers actually want, what sex workers actually need. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear like the contrast between the two.
Yeah, I think like when you're dealing with any kind of like internet like interactions, it can come across, you know, really like cold and robotic, and you don't know who's on the other end and there's no face behind it, and it's just like some guy, random guy in your DMs being like, hey, I can make you all this money, like
hey, nice content.
Yeah, nice content, like food at my house and like I can make you all this money, and like that's, you know, that's not what we're looking for when we're like seeking out management. We want professional, we want caring, we want people that understand this industry, that have been through it, that have, you know, maybe OF wasn't their first thing, maybe they're strippers or whatever, like sugar babies, like just someone to work with you that has all the understanding of like where that comes from. And like, yeah, just, you know, understanding the creators, in a sense that, like the finance bros, they have never created content. They've never done sex work. They have no idea what's going on in that world. And so when I started working with them, they were like, oh, you need to make this much content every week, and it needs to be a blowjob video, and it needs to be like people are asking for anal. And it's just like, you're a human. You can't just like expect that of people off the bat.
Like a fuck toy.
Yeah, like basically the fuck toy that's just there to make content. And then they take like an insane amount, like an insane percentage. And you feel like you're just paying them to basically keep your account going, and you're not actually like profiting the way that you should be. So we wanted to work something out that was like a sliding scale for our creators, so that, you know, the more income that they make, the less percentage we take, so that it's equitable and fair, so that we all grow together. Yeah, I think just providing, like, we have basically 24-hour holistic care. So like anytime that you need anything, you can tap in. We want to like expand to things like mental health and just finding ways to support our creators more and more instead of just using them, which is what a lot of agencies tend to do in this industry.
Definitely.
The big thing for creators by creators is like legitimately true. Like what she just pointed out, working with, let's just call them, we'll call them Finance Bros.
Finance Bros.
They are not creators themselves. Like they haven't done the hard part. They haven't had to record a video because it wasn't filming. And now you have to redo this scene of you faking an orgasm. Like, and you know, you want as much recording as you can. Like it's tiring. They're not the ones editing it. They're not the ones writing the caption.
Yeah.
You know, I was with a male the other day and I was writing one of my own OnlyFans captions for the PPVs. And he's like, you can tell a female wrote this by how descriptive it is.
Right.
And so for creators by creators, you're working closely with someone like Jamila and then someone with, I do the social media, someone like me, I do content too. Like we can fully understand and we're not trying to hammer you out like a fuck toy.
Yeah. Cause let's be honest, you're not always feeling like this OnlyFans can take a lot out of you, you know, like you have to give a lot. And I think that people don't understand like how much work actually goes into it.
It is true. I don't do it full time just because I can't, but I quickly realized it is a great way to make money. But you know, those jokes on the internet that it's like, if nothing works out, I'm going to sell feet pics. Okay. Good luck. You are still, you're putting in not 80 hours. You're 100%. Putting in 120 a week.
Yeah. Like, do you know how many girls DM me and they're like, oh, like if I make feet pics, do you think I can make $100,000 a month?
God.
I'm just like,
oh,
not how that would be. Like feet and vagina, and then maybe, but no one can make $100,000 a month to see your feet.
Yeah, it's a lot of that.
And if they are,
it's like it comes with that whole notion of like sex work is easy, and you know, I'm just gonna sell my like nude couple nude pictures online and like, you know, snap a couple videos of like my feet and some like nylons and stuff, and I'll just make bank. But like online sex work is a freaking hustle, and it's so much work.
It's so much.
You're just not sending the picture. You have to like lube them into the conversation. It's like you're creating that fantasy, right? That fantasy online. It's not just a direct, here's $50, here's a picture of my feet. You're gonna have to respond to their really queasy message of, oh, princess baby, those are the most delicious I've ever seen in my life.
You real know? Message though. It's a real message.
Plus you got it. You're doing the makeup, you're doing the lighting, you're doing the script, you're doing the editing,
the storyline,
you're doing
the costume,
literally everything. You're producing an entire like video, and then there's also your partner that you have to like factor in. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and I think that having that understanding about what it takes is something that can really help. Creators.
I agree with you on that too. And like also just talking about, I know that like we wanted to talk about like the male gaze and how, you know, especially with these male owned agencies, I'm not saying that all men are bad. I mean, maybe most of them, but like just kidding. Not. I mean, there's definitely some bad apples there for sure, which aren't great. And a lot of them are in that, like, you know, OnlyFans, loyal fans, like management type agencies where they're just looking to get a cut out of your money. I also want to say too, not to scare anyone, but sometimes these OF agencies and management companies, they're also traffickers as well. So I'm sorry, trigger warning here. Those can also be trafficking situations, like say a la Andrew Tate style, you know, him trying to recruit you and trying to do all these like photo shoots and webcamming, all these things that, you know, maybe you don't want to do, or maybe you do want to do, but you're not seeing all that money as well. So I also just want to throw that out there too, if anyone's listening and is considering getting some kind of management company to manage your online stuff, it's just be careful and take everything with a grain of salt, but also more reason to support other sex worker owned and operated businesses as well, which is why you're on the show.
Safety is so important in this industry. So I think that, you know, doing your due diligence when you are looking for a management and really like doing the research and making sure, like, you know, if something's too good to be true, it usually is, especially on the internet. So I think, just making sure to stay safe online for sure when you're looking for agencies.
And these companies, like I'm the one who runs the Passion Fruit Instagram, so I see all the DMs and all the DM requests daily. We get messages from other OnlyFans agencies because they're using bots to find girls, right? Yeah. Like if we want to recruit someone, it's someone we've studied. It's someone, you know, we're not going to send them this copy paste message. It's going to sound like it's coming from a human. We, as the Passion Fruit page, as an OnlyFans management, social media management company, Instagram, they try to recruit us. Yeah. And it's like, okay, which one?
Well, our guys try to recruit me. And I'm like, have you not looked at my bio? It literally says founder, Passion Fruit Collective. You click on that once, you see that I literally run an agency. But like, for some reason, it doesn't compute for them. They're like, oh, we don't. Like,
they just saw hot girls.
Yeah, thinking with the dick.
And they're like, we.
Yeah. And obviously not all men, like you were saying, but there's a certain power dynamic that's just unavoidable in this industry because we do live in a patriarchy. So I think, you know, being conscious of that, and that's just something that we try to convey to our creators
Amazing.
As well.
Yeah. That's so, so important. Cause like, yeah, again, not all men are bad, but like ones that are usually running these agencies are not exactly great. So, I mean, moving forward from that, can you tell me about a bit more about Passion Fruit? Like what kind of services you all offer? I know we kind of sprinkled into there. I know Carly's mentioned you do social media and stuff too, but like just maybe, I don't know if you want to list and describe what kind of services you have just in case the folks listening are interested and potentially wanting to jump on board.
Yeah, honestly, like literally everything to do with your OnlyFans, basically all you have to do if you are with us is you just make content. Like, and we can give you ideas, we give you feedback.
Help you grow your social
Help you grow your social media, photo shoots.
Content ideas.
Content ideas, 24-hour support.
Feedback from your own team members. Like getting to speak with that actual founder, not just someone not below, but you know, in the hierarchy of a work way, like you're working with, we're equals.
Yeah. And we're also, and you're also joining a collective. So that means like all the other creators that we have, you know, we'll like, we do shout out for shout out and networking and like just trying to collectively have that audience together, just empowers everyone so much more. So yeah, I think we pretty much do everything, everything that you can just sit back and make content and
that's
just
so
focus
cool.
on that.
Please don't tell me it's just you two running Passion Fruit. Cause, okay, guys, like, oh my
it's,
how do you do that?
No.
I'm the social media coordinator and I do the photo shoots locally here. Well, we'll get into later. We hope to do more photo shoots other places with the rest of our creators as well. But that's my role. I run the Instagram. I help the creators with their TikToks and I do some random stuff.
Yeah.
I do random stuff.
She does random
stuff. We have a group chat. I'm like, what do you need today?
That's awesome. In terms of like, if someone's wanting to get involved with Passion Fruit Collective, is there, I know that you said you source out people that you want to work with. So is it invitation only or is there a place that you can apply and you can review or what does that process look like if there is any?
Yeah, we're very inclusive. We actually have a large number of trans creators on our roster, which is really cool. And yeah, it's super inclusive. You know, you can be just starting out, you can be really big. We have everywhere in between. There's kind of like different tiers of service depending on like where you're at and like what you need and like the potential that we see in you and the commitment and all those kind of things. So there's always people that like think that they can, you know, make a quick buck and like make some content and like get out of the game. And then there's people that like are really committed and this is their life. And those are the type of people that tend to do better with us because, you know, we're putting in so much effort. So we like to obviously have that effort back. And that's just, you know, that's been, you know, for the most part, the best type of working relationships that we've had are people that consider this like a long-term like kind of life path at the moment.
Like they're mostly their full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like this is what they're doing. This is what they're devoting their time to.
Which is why they do so well.
Which is why they do well. Yeah, exactly. There's people that, you know, dabble in it.
Someone like me, I dabble. I'm so lazy with it. I do wish I could take it more seriously. It truly is fun if you and if you have a team like Fashion Fruit behind you where you really just get to bang out your content and focus on that, that's awesome.
Yeah, we have some pretty big creators. We have Brittany Cade and Angelica and Gracie Jane, and those are all like, they're pretty big in the in the porn world, and we're very, very lucky to have them. So they also just, you know, like love representing us, and I think that's just says a lot about, you know, our reputation and stuff. And I think in this industry, like, reputation is literally everything. So yeah it's good to just have that collective and group of people working together,
because Fashion Fruit is very word of mouthy, right?
We don't at the moment, we haven't put out any like recruitment campaigns or like really tried to actively recruit anyone. It's mostly people coming to us and asking us to join, and then their friends being referred and things like that. So yeah, we've been able to be a little more selective, but we also don't want to like, we don't want it to get too big so that we're not having those interpersonal relationships with creators. We want to still keep it personal and not let
automated. Yeah. And then that's the one thing I love about like small businesses. Like, you still get to meet with, or still get to communicate with like the founders, and you still get to get that really, really amazing service. Like, and the whole thing, like, I am talking to a human, and I do feel like they do have my back in this, because, you know, sometimes when companies get big, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's just like a regular scale in terms of like, if you want to scale your business, you're gonna have to, you know, get bigger at some point. But then that's when like outsourcing happens, and like maybe the quality of service goes down a little bit as well. So it's really nice that you guys are really just taking care of your baby, which is awesome to hear, and also just taking care of so many creators out there too, from what it sounds like. In terms of like the different tiers or packages, can you share a little bit of insight in terms of like what that might entail, and if they're like what kind of cost, in case people are and folks are interested, in terms of like how much they should save for some kind of commitment like this?
So in terms of tiers, it's just, you know, sometimes we like invest heavily into an account with promotional services and growing social media and growing TikTok and growing, you know, Twitter and Reddit and investing in photo shoots. And that's if we see someone that's like super committed and really wanting to partner and work together. And as for costs, like I was mentioning, it's a sliding scale. So we decided that we were never, ever going to take more than 50%, because it's, you know, that I never wanted to take, like 60, 70. I think that's like, that's exploitative. I think that should never happen. So at the very, very base, like someone who's just starting out, who's not making like anything yet, like we kind of do 50%. And then as a creator makes money and starts earning more, then our percentage goes lower and lower and lower. So if you're making like a ton of money, we're taking a way smaller percentage.
Because there's less risk for us on our end, right? Because it costs money to onboard someone, put that time and effort, like answer their questions, the back and forth, right?
Yeah, so if someone like huge comes on and they're already making like an insane amount of money, we're not going to take a huge percentage, because, you know, they've worked so hard to get there. And, you know, that it's, I just feel like it's exploitative to take more than 50% at any time. And then also to not grow with creators, in a sense, is which is what we really wanted to do. And that came from, you know, from me working with Finance Bros and taking like 75% of my income. At the end of the year, I was like, how did that happen?
So you get 25%.
At the end of it, I was like walking away with so little. And then I was also paying my partner a percentage because we're making content together. And then I'm like, this, what am I even doing here? Like, this can't be like what happens to people. And I consider myself like a smart person and I didn't even see this coming. So thank God for my partner. He was like, you deserve way more than this. Like, you can't be accepting this. So it was my own journey as well.
Well,
but yeah, definitely
a very humbling experience, yeah. I'm sure, though. And like, you know, I'm really glad that you're able to be vulnerable about that, Jamila, and actually just speak up to it, because, you know, so many a lot of that has happened to us, and no one is brave enough to speak up about it too. So I'm sure that some listeners have also experienced similar things as well, because it is an exploitative you know, situation to be in. And it's just terrible to hear stuff about that. Yeah. But it happens so, so often, especially with all these like really, really corrupt agencies that are out there just taking these massive cuts. And you're just like, what happened? But as you mentioned, like this can happen to anybody. So thanks for bringing awareness on that too. So in terms of like, you were talking about commitment. Is there any kind of like minimum commitment is like based on like a 1 month, 2 month kind of thing, or like how does that whole process work?
You have to have 50 images and videos in your content vault already to join, so there's already a basis of content to work from there. And then after, I don't work too much on that side or what's needed, but
yeah, and we don't really we have contracts, we have agreements with people. And we kind of do like every 3 months, like an evaluation to see like where you're at and where your account is at. But, you know, we never really want to hold anyone in a place where they're not happy and they're not comfortable. So if people are feeling like this is not for them, or, you know, they want to take a different route, we're not really going to like hold someone hostage and be like, you have to like make this amount of content before you will let you go and you can never talk to anyone else and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, there's definitely things that we want to do to protect ourselves as a company, but we also just, you know, we want to be real about it. And I would never, I basically am doing all the things that I never wanted to be done to me. Like, I want other people to never have to experience that as well. So like, I would never want to be held in a contract that I hate and I'm not into and I want to get out of. So I would never really do that to anyone else that I work with either.
Treating someone how you want to be treated. That's a new one.
I know, it really is simple. There's like really, honestly, it's not rocket science. And like, we just want what's best for everyone, like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like what kind of management do I want? What kind of people do I want to work with? Okay, I'm going to be that to, you know, and obviously I have other people to like bounce ideas off of, like Carly and my partner and other people that we work with. So mostly everyone that we work with is a woman,
right?
Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. So,
there's Well, I mean, on that note, Jamila, you I know that you were also saying, at least in the notes, we're saying this is something that is like woman-owned, sex worker-owned, and that is really important to your business. I know that you have a couple of values that Passion Fruit also is based upon, being femme-forward, also being equitable, being empowering as well. Do you want to speak to that a little bit? Because I think it's really important to kind of mention that as well.
Yeah. Where do I even begin with that? I just, it's just been such a, you know, a journey to get to where I am, and all the people that like have supported me along the way. I just wanted to be able to do the same for others. And, I don't know. That's like,
it is a loaded question. I'm sorry.
I would put it like a micro.
Yeah. I'm just very thankful for the team that I have. There's no way that I could have ever done this on my own. It's really been about the collective. And I've learned so much from the creators that I work with, and like Carly and my partner and other people that I work with. I've never thought of it as like, it's just me. I'm just Passion Fruit. It's really the team and the collective. And that's just what I wanted to transfer over to anyone that we work with and bring on. And I think just having that care, that inclusivity, where it's creating a safe space for digital sex workers. And also a lot of our creators are sex workers in real life. So it's, just creating a space where they feel like this is a safe space to go to. If something is going on, like there's always creators that will, you know, message us and be like, hey, this is happening in my life. Like, I really need some support. I'm not going to be able to make content for a few days. We're like, okay, no worries. Like, we got this. Like, we got you. We'll figure out like some kind of promotional campaign using old content for now. Like, you know, we're always working hand in hand and supporting as much as we can. And that was just the main thing that I wanted to make sure that happens. That.
Well, it really resonates too. And I love following your Instagram as well, just to see like all the freaking cool content you guys are making out there. And as you mentioned, like a lot of this emphasis like goes on the team, that it's a team effort, it's a collective. And I'm curious too, because obviously, Carly, you're a huge part of Passion Fruit Collective as well. But like, I'm curious to hear, like, what is the story? Like, how did you guys meet? What is that story? Is there a story? You're smiling at me. Like, go off.
I was, it was right after, like during COVID time, because we met in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I'd followed her on Instagram, like most people in the city did. And I was like, oh, she is so cool. And like, I started to become friends with some of her friends. So I was like, were you friends with me and Amani were friends first. And I was like, oh, she seems so cool. And like, I started to take some more pictures. I started to get some more followers on Instagram. So I was juiced up.
She was ready to slide in those DMs.
I was buying her weed. Like,
be my friend, please.
I remember buying her OnlyFans content. Like, we were like, okay, Carly, it's time for you to DM her. So I DM'd her and I was like, hey, do you want to shoot? All that built up for that. She was like, yeah, come over one time. And then I went to her house and we ended up shooting together for the first time. And then we stayed in touch and we got friendlier and friendlier. And then we developed like a friendship outside of all of that. So I was like, oh, okay, now I feel really cool. And then started to work together a bit more. And I always knew she was doing something on the internet. Like, I knew that there was something happening.
I've always been doing something.
She's been doing something. And I knew it was like OnlyFans or something. And then they invited me to, her and her partner invited me to come to Thailand on a whim.
Yeah, I was having such a good OF month. And we were like really in content mode.
And she's like, you know what, Carly, could be a good addition.
It was COVID. So you have to go through all of this like crazy, getting like almost like a visa. Just
it was called the Test and Go program. And it's actually a funny story because we actually, if we would have waited a week, none of this would have actually had to happen. But the tickets were booked and it was time. So Test and Go, when you were traveling to Thailand from Canada, was on the first day of arrival in Thailand. You get put in COVID jail. They test you. They zip tie your room. Your food is ready. It comes to you. And then you have to wait there until you get negative results from the test.
For how long? Like 48 hours.
They said up to 24. And I'm in Bangkok. I get picked up by, I'm alone. And I also had just broken my back pole dancing.
And I was like, please, I'm booking your flight. Just come.
So it was, I told my mom and my doctor, I'm like, I'm going. They're like, you are so stupid. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I get on the plane, I get there, I get picked up by this truck in Bangkok and they bring me to this hotel. And it was nice. It was a nice hotel. And then I got tested. And then finally, this one only took like 12 hours or so. When I woke up, I had my negative results. We booked an earlier flight to Koh Samui. Did I say it?
Yeah.
Yep. We finally were reunited after this long travel. And I was only there. 8 days, and on the fifth day of Test and Go, I had to go back to COVID jail.
So she had like, we had like 4 days.
Oh my
4 days.
God. She had
4 days. Yeah, because the other days were spent in testing COVID jail.
So. Yeah. And then I had to go home the next day. So I just went to the airport from my second COVID jail. And then I flew home and then we got the pictures back. And it was just like, I on it, like, even that was a couple years ago, but to this day, some of my best pictures ever.
We only had 4 days, but
made the most out of it.
Yeah. We got the shots. We got the shots.
There was a, we had one sunset. This was our, we had like some shots lined up. Like we're like, we're going to shoot it. Cause we had a really nice villa. So we're like, we're going to use this corner. We'll use the pool. We'll use the beach. We'll do all this. But we needed that sunset shot. Cause I really like, I'm a film photographer and I love flash against the sunset on a human. It just looks fucking phenomenal. Right. We could swear. I almost stuttered there. I was in my room and I was pretty tipsy and she was like, come out. And I like slipped on the, but we got it done and those ones were.
And didn't it kind of start thunderstorm?
Wow.
And it was raining.
Yeah, it was like nighttime and the water and the rain and the flash. It was.
I need to see some pictures now. Like, if you show me after this call, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's how that happened. And then that was February 2022. And then we just kept shooting as normal between her and I as we did. And then I think in March, correct me if I'm wrong, of 2023, they asked me to join Passion Fruit full time. And that's what
started. Yeah. Passion Fruit was just, you know, expanding so much that I really needed to bring on some more creatives. And I just, you know, I'm such a fan of Carly's work. She's so talented. I just would thought that having her creative eye behind, you know, our social media and also just doing shoots for us, like conceptual shoots for us, would be so fun. So,
and I have a history in marketing. Like before I quit my job to pursue photography full time, I did marketing for an online loan company. I was making them commercials and doing all the things. So I knew I was nervous when she asked me because I never want to let her and her partner down. They're like little parents to me, and just be a part of the whole story and everything. So I was like, okay, I got to take this really seriously. And I'm glad that I did. And it's something that I really enjoy doing. It makes me feel important when my Discord goes off.
Yeah, Carly's the most professional of professionals. Like, she's just really committed to her work. And yeah, we're lucky to
have her. I love that. And that's just a freaking crazy story. That's like wild to me.
In the Thailand of it all. I was in Harrison with my sister for her birthday, and I was like, no way. She's like, what? I'm like, they want to take me to Thailand. And I never
been to. Did I even ask her, or did I just say you're coming?
You pretty much like, you're coming. You're like, look at the flights and all this COVID stuff. And I was like, okay, yeah. And I was already going to Europe like a month after that. So in my ambitious brain, I was like, I got to do everything this year.
Yeah, I was like, how long do you have? You're like, 8 days. I was like,
and my back's broken.
Totally, that is crazy.
Yeah. I had, you know, it's called Dr. Ho. It's like an electroshock thing that you keep padded onto your sore part of your body. My mom lent it to me for the trip. And that's what kept me going the whole time.
Not an ad. Anyone who's listening, that is not an ad. Not an endorsement. That's hilarious. Well, I mean, Carly, I love your work. Like, I already, like, when we work together, I mean, yes, it's under a different type of work that we do together, but I like knew of your work, your photography work, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's you. I was like, oh my God, so amazing. I'm all right. But talking about like photography, and I've talked about this topic on the show before, of course, because we've all worked with the guy with the camera. I don't even want to call them male photographers because, like, they're not photographers.
If you are a straight male relying on females' body to represent art, you are so lazy. As a photographer, there are things that are lazy to me. Taking pictures of naked women and old vintage cars. Like, you're going to get a banger out of both. Like, it's easy to take pictures of, but, you know, there's just these guys that create these Instagram accounts and it's only girls. And you know, the sad part is too, because when you're getting started, you need content. Not everyone can afford a photographer. So they're preying on girls just starting OnlyFans, or everyone loves a good photo of themselves. Like, there is no shame to having a photo shoot done, but they really 100%. Prey on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll DM you and be like, you'll ask like, oh, what's the concept? And they'll just screenshot like, like a girl in lingerie, like the most basic lingerie ever.
Wow, no story, no like, just, and then the angle is going to be the male gaze, the down look.
Yeah.
POV.
There's a lot of that out there. And also just like, you know, and I've been there too, like when I was first starting out too. And it's like a lot of like TFC and like, no payment for things and stuff like that. And I mean, there's no shame to that, because, you know, a lot of us have to start from somewhere, and, you know, it does cost money to get beautiful photography done for your business. But like, yeah, just getting caught up with male photographers or just men with the camera is really scary. Because I don't know, Carly, I think I mentioned it to you when we were working, but like, I was a victim of voyeurism from a male photographer who had like placed a camera in the change room, and like, and like another model found it, and this is like years later, and I had to hold. It was fucked, and I had to go through the whole thing. This was in Toronto when I was there for something else. No, this is at like his place, and of course that's a whole thing. It's like, but it was a big house, and I was like, it's fine. But obviously it's not fine. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's gross. Disgusting. It's gross. Much. So No, sorry, thank you.
That's terrible.
But that's so why terrible. I'm just like, I'm only like, I don't even shoot anything anymore. Like, or I will only shoot with like women now because of experiences like that. And like, like the more people I talk to, a lot more other, like a lot of other adult creators, who are, you know, female identifying, are also sharing the same sentiment and their uncomfortability to shoot with male photogs because of stuff like that. So tell us a little about, like, I guess, Carly, more towards you and your experience too, like what made you want to go more into photography and also how this loops in with passion fruit too, like being able to shoot other amazing creators and stuff too, and be able to create something, because it's so important to have a concept when you're shooting and not just like, okay, I'm just gonna be scantily clad or, you know, wearing nothing. But talk to us about that.
I think in the beginning it just came pretty naturally. Like, I was just doing it because I enjoyed it, and I didn't understand the bigger picture of it all until I was probably like a year into shooting, because I do portraits as a way that I like a good way that I make my money through photography, like doing portraits for whatever that might be, OnlyFans content or just a photo shoot, like whatever. I've done pictures for girls sending the pictures back to their man in jail, like whatever the case, like I will help you.
Yeah,
just versatile. Yeah, I've done weddings. Baby photos. Jail. And I was about a year in, and I get all sorts of people, like, you know, people with a following, people without a following, people doing it for fun, people doing it for serious. And it never ever really clicked until this one time. I was just doing my job, like, you know, and I didn't feel special. I didn't feel like a superhero about it. But one time I remember, because girls will usually bring along a friend to help out, which I love when they do that. And I went to the bathroom and I could hear them in the next room talking about how excited they were. And I could hear them giggling and it makes me emotional. And like, we're helping her with her hair and her makeup and how like excited and happy they were to be, like, to have that done. And like, when I got home that day, I felt like, okay, like you are doing something that's actually like means a lot to people. Like, these aren't just photos. Like, they get to feel safe. They get these beautiful, they get to feel pretty after it. And it never really hit until that moment. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not just a dude with a camera. This isn't like, this has meaning behind it. Like, I can do this more and I can make something out of it. And also, like, it comes from a place of, just because you're a sex worker, like, this is something I had to unlearn as I got into this, being just, you know, an average white girl from North End, like, things I had to unlearn. Sex workers are drug addicts, they aren't scary, you know, like some of the nicest and funniest people I've ever met. And you aren't just a sex worker, you are so much more than that. So destigmatizing that term also was a big driving factor for me behind it.
That's
as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, all my friends were sex
workers.
Yeah. The most entrepreneurial, like good with money or not, like, you know, like the funniest people though, like for sure.
And that's
the funniest. But yeah, that's where that all kind of came from. A lot of like inspirations of trying to make someone feel good and also like help like a bigger cause at the end of the day that you don't think that you, it does matter.
No, it absolutely does matter. Cause like, you know, what the show is all about is destigmatizing the work, because, you know, media and society will tell us and try to dictate what they think they know about our work, of which is usually highly inaccurate or like super stereotypical or like based on some stereotype from like the 80s or something or whatever, like whatever it is, it's actually very harmful to sex workers. So I'm really trying to paint a different light and the humanistic approach. Because, like, in the end, we are all human, and this is just a job at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So,
one of the oldest professions out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not, it hasn't gone away and it's not going to go away. Like, they give us hell and they try to make it something it's not, but they can't, they can't stop it.
Yeah. And I think what Carly was saying too is just like, just because, you know, you're a sex worker, that's not your entire identity. That's not everything that you are. We're very multifaceted people, and
you're not what the Simpsons and Family Guy shows a sex worker as, like, you know, like that is just so harmful. And It's just not true at all.
Yeah, like
not
like,
at all.
What if we just called construction workers just construction workers and that's it, and they weren't actually people or like, you know,
I'll even be nice here, finance pros. Like, I'm sure you got a person out of that too, and you got like goals and ambitions.
No, it's so true because, like, you know, some people get stuck on being defined by something, whether it's their work, whether it's sex work, whether it's something, like just being defined by that. But there's so much more to offer and so much more behind the scenes that you might not know about. But of course, people are always just interested in like, what's the spiciest thing I can ask you about? Like, I do a lot of things outside of this show and outside of being a sex worker. Like, I do marketing as well. I do that. I have my own business for that. Like, I'm a teacher. I do all this. I just all this stuff. But the only thing that people want to ask me about is my sex work. Because it's, like, most interesting and the spiciest part of, like, what I do. Is just – it's such a boring question to me. Like
– I agree.
And I don't know about you guys, but it's definitely, like – I have a persona that is the sex work part, the OnlyFans part. And then if you know me in real life, it's like
the opposite.
That's probably true for a lot of people that do OnlyFans. You know, they create a persona, they create an online identity. And, you know, people develop these like parasocial relationships online and then they think that they know you. And it's like, well, I have a whole other life and ambition and career and, you know, all these other things that I do outside of this too. So it's not just, you know, one it's just
it's just a fraction of what you see. And a lot of that is like, you know, really amplified. Like when I'm online and I'm streaming, it's like I'm very happy and excited and hello user 4597 and like all that stuff. And it's like, for me, normally, like, I am that, but at the same time, it's just like, no, I have my days when I'm just chilling out, and usually that's most of the time is when I'm really chill and not just, like, perky all the time and excitable and stuff, too. Yes. But, yeah, it's important, listeners, because there's lots of clients and fans that listen to the show, to delineate between the fantasy and also there's actually, a person behind what you're seeing online, right?
Yeah.
I did love this tangent, but I do want to bring more attention back to Carly again. Carly, I know that you have something very exciting at the time of this release. At the end of the week, there's something happening on February 2nd, and I would love for you to talk about that if you can share.
This is the first time I get to talk about it publicly, too, besides a text on Instagram. So on February 2nd, I am having my first solo art exhibition. It is called Fear of Crowds, and it is a journey of the last 3 years working within strip clubs. And that just, I started out just as a photographer, taking pictures for the number 5 of their merch and coming to do their Move Something nights. I had never, besides being a customer in a strip club, like I was told, you got to get on stage with these girls. Like during this time, I was shy, I was nervous. It's girls that booked me for photo shoots over the years. And between that, it's behind the scenes, it's travel, it's everything stripper. And it's through my eyes and a female gaze and what, you know, the lore of the strip club, essentially. And it's the lore, you know, it's behind the scenes, it's on stage, it's all of it, right? And I'm really thankful. I've had this idea for a while. Fingerprint Gallery is the one hosting it, and they approached me earlier in the end of 2023, and they were like, we really love your stuff, I've been following you for a while, we think you have standout art in the city, like, do you have anything? And I was like, okay, I got an idea, but like, can you handle it? And they were like, no, we love that. And I was like, okay, great, that's perfect, because it's right on the seawall in Falls Creek, so it's definitely 19 plus. I'm gonna go ahead and say that right now. It definitely is 19 plus. Maybe don't bring your kids there yet. The title Fear of Crowds comes from kind of something we just talked about, having that persona online. Because for me, since the beginning of being a photographer, I think half of being a photographer isn't just the pictures, it's who you are and how you present yourself. And I am at my core kind of socially anxious. And a lot of it, I got through it with drinking. And I was the party photographer, and I was always there with the shot, and I had the confidence to talk to anyone, like get my way into any section at the club just through drunk talk. And now I am almost 6 months sober from alcohol. the title kind of wraps into, okay, I'm not that person anymore. And like every day, like I am faced with my ego who says like, shut up and let me do your job for you. And I cave every time. And I'm so thankful for it because I don't think the real me would have been able to do everything I've done. So in a way, it's kind of a thankful ode to the drinking problem I had, if that makes sense. So I was able to, I don't know if I would be able to take the pictures I did now, putting myself in situations like that. But it's basically about like my fake persona.
Wow. I mean, first of all, double congratulations. One, on this art show, which is amazing to hear. Huge congrats.
Thank you.
And also like 6 months sober. Yes. Huge. Especially in this industry.
Yeah. From alcohol. I do like to clarify that, but thank you. Thank you. It is huge. It was, it was near the end. I had maybe a decent relationship with it, but it was always a want for me to get to know myself, who I really am without drinking, because it's been since I was 13. Like, I just feel like I didn't know myself. And for example, like, am I going to be a great photographer without drinking and going out? And yes, I can. I can do all those things and more. But it's definitely been a learning curve. And I think it's the greatest present I could have ever given myself.
You should be definitely proud of yourself. We are going to plug this event at the end of the show as well, which will be very, very soon. So keep listening for all the details. And if you're already kind of listening to this really fast, all the details are going to be in the show notes as well. So just if you haven't looked and peeked there already. Okay. Before we wrap up this part of the conversation, both for Carly and also for yourself, Jamila, on Passion Fruit Collective, is there anything that we wanted to mention or that we didn't get to cover before we go into some Q&A?
I think we covered a lot of the stuff that we were hoping to talk about.
Yeah. You were a great interviewer. Yeah, might you. I just say that this whole thing has been incredibly professional and I feel like a superstar.
I know, me too.
I was really nervous before.
Both of us.
I had a knot in my stomach all day. And then as soon as we started and you, it actually all melted away.
I'm so glad to see that. Kudos. Thanks, guys. <Yes. laughs> That's very sweet. Thank you. Yes. Again, this is just like a really casual conversation. I know like a lot of people like tend to get really nervous, especially like on podcast interviews, but like I am the very, like the most chillest person, I would say. And I'm hoping that we were able to cover everything there. But as I mentioned, there is a question that came from one of the fans on Instagram. I am going to go ahead and pull that up. This one comes in from a longtime listener, Galigo Smash. Let me just find that thing here. So the question is, and you can answer this however you please, but the question is, have you ever looked at other creators for new marketing ideas like Kazumi? I love Kazumi.
No, I'm not familiar with Kazumi.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. And she's hosting the AVNs this year. I'm hoping to say hi again. Oh, yeah, she's an indie creator.
Is she the
total indie. Nice. She's the one that did a billboard. And for some reason, I thought you also did a billboard too, but I'm just confused. I'm like, is that the new thing that everyone's doing? But maybe it's an idea. Yeah, I feel like you should now. But she does like a really like a lot of ad hoc marketing. She did like t-shirts with her like QR code. She did a billboard with her QR code for her OnlyFans and does like a lot of like, yeah, she's fun. She's super fun. Yeah. And a sweetheart in real life too.
Yeah. Okay, well, now I'm definitely going to look her up and get marketing.
She's great for marketing. She was a past marketer before she got into adult anyway, so I'm like, I can tell. She's smart. But yeah, I mean, going back to the question for both of you, and you both can answer, but yeah, do you look at other creators for inspo is the question.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely looked, especially when I was first starting out, looking to other creators, just seeing how they build their pages and all. There's so many tricks in this industry that you can do and learn from other creators. So that was definitely, and I would love to just an ode to all the creators that came before me, you know, that laid the path before me. I'd be here without
shout
you,
out. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Carly, you have anything to add to that?
Oh, me? Okay, yes. Yeah, you know, are we talking like
whatever,
OnlyFans,
however
like
you want to absorb the question, it's completely up to you. So yeah, you can talk about that.
I look for inspiration like everywhere. I have notes in my phone that any line or movie or ad or music line I hear or something I see on someone else's Instagram caption, it gets written down in my captions list. And that can translate to a content idea or such. Like, yeah.
That's why you're hired.
Yeah.
That's why she does this.
You know, my friend's a tattoo artist. We were talking about taxes as self-employed people. And he was like, did you know that some of my friends will save the receipts from going to the movies because they try to claim that as info for their work?
And I was
like,
yeah, that's
not about that. No, I get it from anything. Like, it's kind of pathetic sometimes what can come in my mind from something, but it always works out. But for content, like when I started doing OnlyFans, definitely I honestly didn't browse the website that much, but I had someone like her and I had seen all her content and I had taken it. So I had an idea of what would work and I'm still trying to figure it out. Like mm-hmm. I just dabble in it, but there is inspiration everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I agree. Lots of inspo. And both of you are also very truly inspiring as well. So helping for me to also do a bit more work with my OnlyFans. I've been like slacking lately. but with that being said, it is the time for you to plug all the shit. So where can we all find you? Jamila, where can we find you? Carly, where can we find you?
Mostly Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans, of course. Arabic Princess. I'll just Google it.
I love that. Just Google me, bitches.
just Google Jamila Cream. And yeah, Passion Fruit Collective on Instagram. If you want to reach out to us, if you have any questions or anything like that, Carly will be answering.
Yes, I am behind Passion Fruit Collective on Instagram. My own personal Instagram is Carly Hughes Horvath. You can also find me at my website, CarlyHughesHorvath.com. And if you Google Carly Says Hi, you know, something will come up.
The spicy sites. And also, Carly, I'm going to bug you one more time. Yeah. Can you also tell us again where your art show is going to be? It's on February 2nd?
Yes, of course. February 2nd, and it will be open to the public following for a week during the day and night. So if you can't make it out February 2nd, but you definitely should, it is going to be at Fingerprint Gallery Marketplace Hall, just on the Falls Creek seawall there. We are also being sponsored by Los Flamingos. I will not be having any as I do not drink anymore, but please everyone have one for me. And 1964, the weed company I work with, will also be present with the goods as well. So come check out my arts, come have a drink, come chill, come talk, come say hi, buy something, and let's have
amazing.
A really good time.
And I will definitely be there. I'm so excited to support your work. Yes, and yeah, some real life hangs, which will happen as well.
You'll see some friendly faces.
Yay!
There.
Oh, there. No. Yeah, she'll be there. Person. It's so nice to meet people in person. I'm like, I need to bring more Vancouver people on the show because it's like, I need to make more local friends here. but with that being said, for everyone else that's listening at home, it is Stripped by Sia on Instagram/X. You can find me there. I'm very active on there. It's Stripped by Sia podcast on Instagram. Go follow because, as you know, I'm rebuilding that page because it was suspended and all that crap that happened last year. Patreon if you want to subscribe there and financially support the show so I can go to more adult industry events and my website, blah, blah, blah. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And if you are interested in coming onto the show, you're more than welcome to pitch yourself at strippedbysia.com. Just click on the contact page and make sure to actually pitch yourself, not just be like, I want to be on the show, but actually like, you know, give me a like nice little breakdown of what you want to speak upon. Even if the initial idea isn't great, I'm sure we can develop something that will be fruitful for the audience. So really, really happy to collaborate with those who want to come on and speak about their corner of the industry. So you can do that, strippedbysia.com. And it is new episodes every single Sunday, dropping at midnight on, Sundays, I said. Sundays at midnight Pacific Standard Time. And that's all for now. Carly, Jamila, thank you so much for joining me today on the show. It's truly a pleasure to have you on today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
And where's the stop button? Here we go. How did that go? You're listening. listening to Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia. Music by Ted D. Graphic design by Maria Bellendorama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.